Hey friends, just a quick note to say how much we appreciate any donations to Health Freedom for Humanity. We pride ourselves on being low overhead, so any money you donate goes directly to the very things that are active in the fight for freedom. Things like the website, administrative costs, and small salaries for those that are coordinating the work. In the future, we look forward to setting up local chapters in each state and being more activist-driven while still giving you the content you need to stay informed. Simply go to healthfreedomforhumanity.org/donate and give to your heart's content. Thank you so much for your participation. Welcome to another episode of the Health Freedom for Humanity podcast. I'm Jeff Weitzman, and I'm your host tonight. I'm also with Jody Meshek. And Jody, we just got a chance to talk to Dr. Devin Vrana, and tell me what that was like for you.
Well, Devin is just light all around. I mean, not only is she colorful in an outward expression of her personality, but just inside it just matches beautifully, which is it's authenticity to me. She is probably, you know, one of the most authentic people that I have come across in my life. And you just feel that love from her. And one thing that really stood out to me in this conversation that we had with her is this female strength, right? Like, I love how she talks about this. It's not just a mama bear, but it is a divine female strength that I think, and I agree with her, is going to save the world. So I think you guys will really enjoy that conversation in this podcast.
And you know what's so fascinating to me about interviewing chiropractors is I literally have never had the same interview twice. Like, they're all so different and they all bring something different to the table. And Devin brings this energy about mothering and about children and about masculine and feminine. And what I loved about this experience tonight was how just the emotional, I don't want to say roller coaster, but the ride she took us on. Yeah. I felt like she took us on a journey.
It was like better than Disneyland.
Yeah. So I am so excited for everybody to hear this. Okay, folks, here's a chance to hear Dr. Devin Vrana. Welcome, Devin Vrana. Thank you for being with us tonight. I know you're from Wichita, Kansas, but tell us a little bit about your practice.
Yeah, so I'm Devin Vrana. I am a mother of five vibrant, beautiful children. I've got a 17-year-old, twin 10-year-olds, and twin 5-year-olds. I'm a chiropractor, acupuncturist. My husband is a chiropractor, acupuncturist. So, like, life is crazy and busy, and I love it. I run a busy, high vibe, high intense and passion filled practice where I get to turn the power on inside of babies and kids and moms and take care of them through postpartum and really walk through all phases of life with the people that God sends my way. So I guess that's me in a nutshell.
I love it. First of all, I have to say, we were all together at that amazing Health Freedom for Humanity symposium. And it seems like it was eons ago. And I don't know when people are going to end up listening to this. We're going to have people listening to it far into the future. But oh my gosh, take me back. So you were our amazing MC. And honestly, I cannot imagine that event without you. Like, just thank you for everything. I just feel like I have to say that first, because you're just such a beautiful soul. And I'm excited to just chat with you today about other things, because there was so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's one of those soul tribe things where it was maybe my first physical time, like, meeting you guys. And like, it's our souls have been here before type feeling, right? Yeah. And to MC that event will go down as like one of my favorite moments in time, because it literally is just like, it's just me getting to be a little girl, like fangirling the whole time of like, these are all my favorite people and I get to introduce them and then tie the lessons together. And it, I mean, really for anybody there, it's that you get it. And for anybody that wasn't there, even
we got to get to the next one.
Yeah. No excuses. Get to the next one for sure.
Seriously. And I'm super inspired to paint my nails a different color on every nail. I know people can't see that on, if you're listening, but you just exude this amazing vibrancy. So I would love to know, and obviously I think people listening, how did you get to this place? Like, what was your journey?
Ugh, man. Yeah. What those questions, right? Like you go back in the time machine. I mean, for people that are listening and can't see me, I'm, you know, become a person that people see with many crazy hats and colors. And I do typically paint my fingernails all different colors. I tell people that my kids in my practice, they always check, like, what does Dr. Devin have on her hands, right? Like I work, my service in life is with my hands. And so I like to have some fun that way, but I wear crazy feathers. And so people see the almost 40-year-old version of me. But I've had to work really hard to heal the woman that gets to live in the here and now. Right. And, you know, I mean, I had a great childhood. I don't have complaints. I think my parents, you know, taught me discipline and work ethic. And, you know, my mom was a put on your boots and make it happen. Life doesn't get handed to you kind of gal. And she was like the Mother Teresa loving, like, you know, filled woman. And I don't know, I had a great upbringing and some trauma and abuse and a lot of, you know, things I had to come, you know, overcome in myself. And I was, you know, doing what people did. You graduate high school, you go to college. I was pre-med, pre-dentistry, just want to help people. At that time, it's like, make an impact, make money, let's go, like travel the world. I'm going to do all the things. And then I got pregnant and, you know, got to bring a child into the world at 21. Years young, without a clue what I was doing. And that's when God, I think, really grabbed me by the shirt and said, hey, I'm going to need you for some things. So let's start carving you out. And, I got to have a baby and went from like, you know, single mom in a basement going like, what are we going to do? Living on food stamps, like, and, you know, hindsight, his birth was rough. He had reactions to shots, but I, you know, this was way before I knew any of that. And I started like learning a lot about health and life very quickly out of necessity. And as I'm getting ready to take the MCAT or dental entrance exam, I'm shadowing doctors. And I was like, I don't want to do any of this. What are we going to do? I got to take care of you. It's you and me and this big, big world. What are we going to do? And fate, you know, led me to chiropractic. I actually jumped into chiropractic school. I'd never been adjusted before. My family thought I lost my mind. But I met a few cool people that nudged me in a direction. And I can't imagine life any other way, because I got to that school and they started talking about the power that made the body heals the body. And there's power within you and the nervous system is all these things. And I'm like, this is truth that I've always known. Where have you been my whole life? And and then jumping into chiropractic school, and I start putting pieces together of what was going on with my son, because he wasn't sick, but he was never well. It was ear infections and pus and allergies. And it's like, I know God didn't send you into the world. This isn't normal, right? I know the doctor, I know what you're telling me. And I, halfway through chiropractic school, went to a pediatric chiropractic training with Dr. Larry Pilevsky. And I raised my hand very innocently and was like, he started talking about vaccines posing threat to children's health. And this is like, wait a minute, a medical doctor saying this? Like, and I had just abruptly stopped when my son was young. And so I raised my hand, I said, here's what happened when he was 6 months old. Like he started sweating and he had this reaction and they said it, you know, it was just normal. And he got this crazy fever and now he has all these health issues. do you think vaccines could have caused these different issues? And he was like, you know, I'll just never forget how that segued into a conversation about HPV and these manufacturers, you know, the crimes against humanity. And my whole world literally went whoop. And I put the pieces together of the forceps birth, the over medication at birth, the insults of injury that came with his 2, 4, and 6 month well baby checks. And I went on a mission and I was like, with a breath in this body, I will serve as many women and children as I can, because I thought it was all my fault. I thought I was just young and dumb and I didn't know any better, and that I was perpetually failing this child. And I'm sure in some ways I was. But when I woke up to this fact that maybe there was a totally different way to do things, then it just became this insatiable thing to learn as much as I could for my own children, but serve it out in as many hope-filled doses as I possibly could. So I guess that's as quickly as I can.
Yeah, Devin, well, we all have the same thing in common, which I think we all have vaccine injuries in our past.
Yeah.
And I want to hear more about what you do with women now. Mm-hmm. You meet a woman who's going to have a baby. And I'm sure you've been through, well, you've had a variety of experiences with your own birth process. And so how are you able to help women that don't know maybe that they have choices?
Yeah. You know, I'm still figuring that out, in part because, you know, shame is a real thing in our culture. Mm. And I think in my lifetime, I would love to make an impact in the healing of mommy guilt, because I think it's one of the poisons that's making women sick, and it doesn't get talked about properly. And so, you know, whether they're pregnant or had just given birth, because a lot of times babies are coming in with colic or constipation or reflux, and that's their, these families have never been to a chiropractor before, but they heard I can help. And so then becomes the challenge, right? How do you lightly and gently and hope-filled red pill a family who really thinks you're just going to like crack this baby? They're terrified to be there in most cases, where they're like, you're going to crack my baby, but I heard it helps and I haven't slept in 6 months. So like, fix it. And the last thing I ever want to do is induce more guilt or shame upon parents that like, there's just no feeling worse than knowing something's wrong and not feeling like you can do anything about it or feeling like it's your fault. I mean, it's just like, God gave me this human and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm just screwing them up. And so, yeah, I mean, as soon as I can, I start to have the conversations. I try to have it in question format. I will tell you, like, you guys were at the symposium, so you got to see Billy DeMoss. My upbringing in truth has come from like, tell them hard. It's kind of like if my kid's going to touch a hot burner, it's not, hey, don't touch that. It's don't touch that. You know, there's a time and place to aggressively share truth, I believe, but that's gotten me in trouble. And one case will haunt me for the rest of my life, in that I took care of this baby girl and we went through all these trials, you know, and she was overcoming all these things. And then the mom decided to go ahead and get shots. And I remember this exchange of being so angry. I'm like, she's come so far. Now look, she's sick again. And I did the thing I said I wasn't going to do. And she accepted that conversation and, you know, just kind of went about her ways, but they never came back. And then a few months later, she, it's a very long, you know, tragic story. But she developed an illness very quickly, rapidly, and had to be flown to Children's Mercy and passed away. And it was the first funeral I attended professionally for a child in my practice, in a tiny casket. And it will haunt me because I had a chance to stay in the game for this family. And I took my own anger at the system and I took my own ego to fix it and be the one to be right. And I lost her. And that'll never go away. And, you know, to get another chance with her family later and be able to apologize to her mother of, it was a spiritual experience that put me in my place where, how can I be a light worker and a truth seeker and a freedom keeper and not hurt them more than they've already been hurt? And how can I hold space for them to change instead of feeling selfishly like it's my job to change them? And so, you know, in our practice, I get to practice with my sister. She's also a chiropractor. She's got 4 kids and 1 on the way, and I've got 5 kids, and we work with really wild, amazing, awesome women. And our contract within our team is to be for them who we need to show up for ourselves, to be a doula for hope, right? And possibility, and to, even when it's hard, right? Especially when it's hard, to not shame them and to always see the hope and light the way forward. So yeah, I mean, I think that maybe answered a question. I love these conversations because you just don't know what's going to come up. But yeah, I mean, I just want to be a lighthouse in their sailing of their ships, so to speak.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. And I, obviously, you know my story because we were at the symposium together, and it just resonates so much. Oh, now you're going to make me cry. No, it's good though. It's good. Like, that is a way that we heal constantly. And even for me and what happened with my son 11 years ago, it doesn't go away.
No.
Like, you're just constantly on this journey of healing. It just gets a little bit, it just morphs into different feelings, right?
It does. And I, Jody, I see you and I immediately think of one of my very, you know, a practice member that's become one of my very good friends. And she is a mom that, like, you know, it was one of the cases where I said, don't do it. Like, it's, and she did, because her doctor shamed him and we lost Baker for a while, but he's coming back. And so I toggle between, like, don't touch the burner and, like, hey, don't touch, please don't touch the burner. Right. It's like, how do we have these conversations? Not watch more children suffer.
And I think back to, you know, even our story when I was in that, you know, you paint a picture, which is such a good visual, because when I was in that office and the doctor shamed me and threatened me and, you know, I don't know how I would have reacted if he would have just listened to me, if he would have said, well, let's have a conversation about it. Why don't you wait and come back? Think about it. You know, like, how would that have changed the course of my son's story? I'll never know. And I think you hit the nail on the head that as women, as moms, we carry so much guilt that we're not doing enough. We're not eating healthy enough. We're not taking care of our kids well enough. We're ruining our kids, you know, and it's a very, very real thing for sure. I did have a question as you were talking, because I was thinking about this, which is like, this is coming up a lot right now in terms of family members and close friends that they're choosing things that we want to just shake them. We want to literally shake them. And I know that it's happened in my own family. I don't think there's any family that is untouched at this point by some type of very deep-rooted feeling, you know, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
So as you're having these conversations with people, because I'm sure that you are, because, you know, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a naturopath, a healer, we're the empath, we're the sounding board, we're the, you know, we're there to listen, which is what the medical system should be doing, but they're not. So how are you helping people through that?
You know, I mean, wow. When you talk about that deep-rooted feeling, those literally, they're little micro civil wars, right? I mean, it's in marriages and within families and friendships and the social pressure and shaming. I mean, you look at Power versus Force by David Hockett, like, shame is the lowest vibration that we can experience. And we shrink and contract to that ickiest place. And that's the name of the game right now. It is a shame game, cancel culture purposefully, right? And so to meet shame with more shame is, that's the opposite of what we have to do. So you know, yeah, I mean, people are dumping all that. We're a sounding board where they can, you know, ask the questions they can't ask anywhere else, where they can come and breathe fresh air without, you know, you come as you are. Like that's where, you know, I look in your eyes. We're soul to soul. So you do you. And I think that acceptance and neutrality and curiosity, right? Like I will think of like prime example was yesterday in my office. I broke down crying. I don't even know how many people praying over people that are being terminated over the next few weeks and panicking about how they're going to provide for their family. And one woman came in and she actually had her mask on, her kids did. And I was so confused because she's been coming in forever without it. And I know their whole family had, you know, COVID and had done great, you know, and so I was really confused and you could see it all over her. She just had this like thing and I adjusted the kids and I'm watching her because her energy was just frantic. And so I adjusted the kids and I was like, hey, let's go do Halloween prizes with the girls. Cause that's like one of the greatest services we give in our offices that like when kids get adjusted, they can go play. So mom can have like 5 freaking seconds to herself. She went to lay down and I was like, hey, what's up? She's just like, I mean, just sobbing. I was like, Janelle, like, talk to me. What's up? And she, you know, she just said, what's the way? What's the right way? Like my Facebook feed says this, the news feed says this, so-and-so says this, the people at the school says it, like, and you could just feel the ping, but like, and she to me became a microcosm of the macrocosm. I could see the whole world in what she was embodying. And I just said, stop. I was like, can I just ask you a few questions? I was like, first of all, let's breathe. And so like, how do you divert? You change the conversation, right? Like meeting there is probably not where we meet, right? So let's breathe first. And I was like, can I ask you a few questions? Leading with question then becomes them saying yes, giving permission, and then you can pour in. Instead of like opinionating all over somebody and word vomiting your own opinion, you know, starting with, could I ask a few questions? And it wasn't questions that were leading anywhere other than like, what is your deepest fear in this? Clearly fear is like in every breath you're taking. Well, I'm afraid of, you know, getting it or having an adverse reaction if I decide to get the shot. And I'm afraid if I don't get it, I'm going to make my kids sick. Or if I do get it, you know, and like she started listing, I said, but why does that scare you? You know, it's that like ask why 7 times type premise. And getting down, it was like, if I die, my kids won't have anybody, was where we landed. And and I was like, whoa, like, and I had to kind of like pat my own hand of thinking how judgmental I can be of seeing somebody in a mask or judging their reason for choosing a treatment that I wouldn't choose. And when her major premise is, if I don't do this, I'm going to die and abandon my kids. Like her major premise is very different than mine. Right. And so from that place, I said, look, regardless of what you choose, my job is to facilitate balancing your nervous system. So let's get you out of fight or flight, because regardless of which direction you think you're going, that needs to be from a place of power, not fear. So let's get you adjusted. She could breathe again. Adjust her. Nervous system's recalibrating. Oh my God, I instantly feel better. Okay, great. She's back in her body. She said, I want to follow up a call tomorrow. And then today we chat for 30 minutes, I think. And I was like, can I send you some things? Again, questions. Can I send you some things? Like, you know, she's like, well, I was a germaphobe before. And, you know, she's sharing different things. It's like, okay, you're giving me, if I'm listening, you're giving me all the answers or the questions that I need to help you go find answers to. So I share different, you know, things. It's like, do you like audio or video? Do you like books or do you like articles? And I got to know how she likes to learn. And then I supplied some things and then I'm going to follow up with her next week. I have been in this conversation since 2005. So I've had 16 years to digest that the world out there is an illusion and it's smoke and mirrors and it's deceitful and it's chaotic and it's entangled and it's maddening. But I've had 16 years to prepare for what we're going through right now. Of sorts, right? In my own waking up process, she's had 16 months. It's like, it's not fair for me to expect her to be at my level? What does that even mean? Right. And so asking more questions, learning where we can find that common ground, and really just going like, regardless of what you choose, if you do go choose that, I want you to choose it because it's your power and you want that and it's the right thing, like for the right reasons, not a fear-based place, because that's a disempowering paradigm.
Devin, I love that this woman ended up in your office. Could not have been a better place in the world than with you. And I was fortunate enough a few weeks ago to meet with the America's Frontline Doctors. And those guys are so adamant about early treatment creates success. Nobody dies with early treatment. The reason people die is they go to a hospital. Somebody says, we can't treat you until it's horrible. By that time, then they're about to die. They bring them in, they throw them on a ventilator and they die. And it's like, oh, so that's where the deaths are coming from. So actually this is fully treatable. And they're like, yes, we treat them every day in the office. The hospital system, which people aren't even aware that there is a system, that government controlled hospital system, is very different from actual medical doctors, chiropractors, naturopaths, holistic DOs, so many people that are not in the system that can treat effectively. Is anybody actually coming in for COVID treatment with you?
Yes, I think that's an interesting question to formally answer, right? Because like my initial gut is like, I think my politically correct that should be no. And yes, but, and I schedule that actually very differently in respect for my team and my hours and like depending on case by case situation. But like I live in my truth. I don't preach my truth. And my truth is, you know, definitely more terrain theory based than germ theory based. And it's more my powers on the inside, not the outside approach. And you know, ironically, because I have not talked about this really a whole lot. I was supposed to go to a Joe Dispenza seminar, one of the week-long retreats with a friend of mine who has stage four. And she asked me to go and be with her through that week. And you have to have a COVID test to go. And I was like, really wrestling with all the things because I hadn't been tested. I was like, for her, I would do literally anything. And so whatever, and I'm gonna do the thing. So a day before I'm going to get my test, I start getting this ache in my bones. And I was like, I looked at my husband. I was like, God's going to give me COVID. I'm going to get a positive. Like I just, the only reason I would ever get tested is because of this moment. Watched, like I could feel something happening. And so, you know, I had to go get it. It was positive. And so ensued like one of the funnest experiences of my life in a way, because I'm like, great. All right. Now I know that I have it because, you know, we all like, or whatever, here's this positive test. And I actually got like 104, I would guess. We don't own a thermometer in our house actually, but like crazy high, hallucinating fever. And my husband said, I sat up at one point and I was like, if this is what people feel, I know why they're so afraid. Like, because if I didn't believe that a fever was an upgrade, if I didn't believe that, like, if my premises weren't intact, I can see why people would go into a fear-based place. Now I had been really stressed and my immune system was down. So like, anyway, I go through this experience only to say like, when we get curious about why the world is the way that it is, why people are the way that they are, and we leave judgment to the side, I feel like we can be more solution oriented. And I believe I was gifted that experience to get that like positive test in my hand and have that fever. To look at even the frontline doctor, right? Even that approach, I believe, is lacking. I say that just humbly in that, like, it's still early treatment versus like early conversations about what's happening in your body, right? Like, even if I didn't immediately think I need to take hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, I didn't take any of that. My initial gut wasn't, oh, I need early treatment. It was like, oh, my body's going to go through a thing. Like, and so I would love to see health initiatives that are getting mindset and breathing techniques and natural supports about what their body is actually going through.
But you're still giving yourself stuff through that whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And empowerment. The doctor of the future is the patient. I want my people, when they're sitting at home, not to even really think, even though I believe an adjustment would help their nervous system and immune system, even though I believe that, the practice members I want to be at home going, sweet, I'm going to get an upgrade. The weak cells are going to die and the strong cells are going to survive and I'm going to get antibodies. And now I know, and I'm going to be fine. And to like not be watching the O2 finger thing going, I want to practice that instills this faith that it's like, you know, regardless of what virus or bacteria they're experiencing, they can intuitively know, like, I'm dehydrated. I need to, you know, like that they tap into that system. So I would even like to see us go by early treatment. It's like early empowerment. Then I don't even know that we'd need treatments, let alone hospitals, right? It's like working it backwards of what the world could be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, because the biggest thing for me as a new mom, I remember, was the biggest fear was the croup and then the fever. Like, so there was two big fears that they instill into you very early on. It's, oh my gosh, a fever, your child's going to die. And oh my gosh, if they cough and have croup or RSV, they're going to die. Like, it's literally those two things. And that's where it starts. I mean, it's so deeply entrenched. It actually, I was chatting with a really good friend today about birthing, right? Just how the entire system has become a business. Like, you look at birthing, and for thousands of years, women have been doing it unmedicated at home or in their whatever with a midwife or a doula. And it has become big business. And you look at a lot of the tentacles of, you know, medicine, allopathic medicine, and it's a business, right?
Yeah.
So actually, this would be a great question, because I really would love to dig in a little bit to, like, sort of that pregnancy, labor piece, and really what women can do to own that power, that strength that is built within us, and to not be, I don't want to say not be afraid. We're always going to be apprehensive. I mean, I remember even having a conversation with my husband of like, hey, let's have a baby at home. He's like, no, you're going to the hospital in case something happens, because that's what we've been taught for so long. The hospital's the safe place. And actually, the hospital is the furthest thing from the safe place, unless you literally need life-saving treatment from an accident or something that occurs. It is not a safe place. So, how can, you know, maybe let's chat a little bit of empowering some women out there for this strength.
This is how the universe works, because today when I was cleaning my office, I grabbed this book and I was like, I don't know why I need this. And without planning, Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. Okay. Like,
I love it.
Should be in the hands of every woman on the planet. Whether you're going to have children, or you know other women who are going to have children, every woman should read this, because understanding this allows us to heal what has happened to women over generations, right? And it helps us empower our daughters and granddaughters in a different way. I'll second this one. So with this, the other book, my other Bible, is Well-Adjusted Babies by Dr. Jen Floriani. I buy those by the case. I have a lending library where moms can get them, or by day one, I'm sending them going like, take your what to expect when you're expecting and throw that in the trash and go get Well-Adjusted Babies, because she really does such a beautiful job of explaining. I mean, because she goes into all the things. And then this other, you know, when it comes to birth, again, same conversation that we were just having with Jeff of, you know, early education, early empowerment changes the entire landscape, right? And so if we're planting seeds of your body was designed to do this, you're going to know what to do. The pain has purpose. Wait, you know, I mean, I don't know many women anymore, even going to their due date. Almost every mom in my practice is being told by 37 weeks, you're good to go. by 39 weeks, the induction rate over the last 18 months has been insane because the hospitals and the doctors want to know when this is going to happen, right? So it's like, so we have not, I mean, so we're now in on a scheduling. It just makes more sense. I got to plan my maternity leave. I need to plan for this vacation or, you know what I mean? It's like, we have just grabbed a hold of the beauty and the spontaneity and said, nope, we know better, right? As with all the rest. And so how do you change that? Well, you empower the mom well before that day comes. And so, and those two books, I mean, they change everything. And, you know, Jeff, you said something about my births. It's like my first one, I didn't know what I didn't know. I got the epidural, my legs went numb. I couldn't feel anything. And they're like, push, they're yelling at me, right? I'm a single mom, young little 21-year-old, terrified young girl. Push. And I'm like, I can't feel my body. Push with what? I'm like vomiting because I'm pushing with my abs. So they back it down. Well, when they do that, his heart tones crashed and roll to your side. Then I'm doing it wrong that way. So my doctor comes in and she's like, if you don't get him out with this one, I have to take you back for C-section. Like I'm inconveniencing her, right? So she gets the forceps and yanks him out. He was a shade of blue that I can't describe. He didn't cry. And they immediately, because we're in a teaching hospital, go to working on me and I don't get him. They're taking him that way. And then I hear the cry, but I'm like, no one's giving me my baby. No one's prioritizing any of the things, the delaying cord clamping, the skin to skin, the, oh, I don't know, the sacredness of a mother meeting her child, you know. It was, they actually gave him to his dad who had made it right before, you know, like before I got him. Like, and so they're pushing on my, I mean, it was just insane. So I had a forceps learning experience. And then my first set of twins, you know, I had one vaginal, one needed a vacuum because by hospital law, he had to be out by a certain like window between his sibling. And so I'd gone 30 minutes and they're like, we got to go or we got to take you for C-section. So I had forceps, vaginal, vacuum. And then this last set of twins, my mom had just passed away. I was dealing with a lot of an audit with Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is a whole nother fun lesson. So I'm dealing with all these things, have my euphoric vaginal birth, welcome my daughter, emergency C-section. So I've literally had birth every way you can. And there's purpose in that pain. God gave me those experiences so that there's not many moms that come in that I don't feel like I can resonate and relate to in what it feels like and how I healed in all of that, in the shame. You talk about shame, C-section, and as our rates climb, that's one of my most passionate topics because man, like what we trap literally inside of our bodies, when we don't get to go through that sacred experience. So yeah, I mean, I my own births have taught me a lot. And then these books, it's like, we got a lot of work to do. And it does, it starts right there in how these babies come into the world.
Hey, Devin, I want to talk to you a little bit about the light that has come into the world, especially in the last 6 months, but I would even say in the last year, this immense heavenly light showing us the way to something new and different. And I want to ask you about your experience of that. But I want to just say, first of all, that Health Freedom for Humanity, which has been around for a year now, has shown me the value of a tribe. I've never had a tribe in my life. And I have a tribe now. And I have people that I love deeply, so many people. I've never had this many people that I love, that I can call, that I can be with. And then there's all the people that call me that are so grateful that I'm available for them. So that's been kind of the huge light in my life. But I want to hear about sort of the light that's come for you in the last 6 months to a year.
Well, you know what I feel like that is, Jeff, because that's been it, right? That's what we started the conversation with about the symposium, because I felt love for every individual I hugged. There were no strangers, right? We were finding each other again. And my hypothesis is because there's enough of us now who have done the work and we have opened our hearts again. And we feel ready to be seen for who we really are and for the power that this planet could emit if we all come into that. And because we've done the work and we've navigated the shadows and we've gone through the dark nights of the soul to rise again, right? In our own lives, now collectively we vibrate differently. And because we've done it, now we can help facilitate it for others. And it's, again, I'll say power versus force. You come up that scale of emotional frequencies, you get up into joy and peace and love and enlightenment, it's exponentially more powerful and it's contagious at that level. So it takes a small group to hit that tipping point, and the light's going to continue to just come on in multiplication, right? And in a rapid rate, I think we're going to see shifts that literally we can't imagine because we've never got to see or experience what we all have shared in a micro. We're going to get to live in that. It's not if, it's when, right? And I know that, like you two know that, because you lived in death. You lived in pain and suffering that is literally not truly describable, and you've overcome and you're better for, and the love you now feel is a whole different level. And now, and the whole world's going to get that. We're just the early ones to the party.
That's right. I love it. I love it. And Jeff, I echo that because, I mean, it's something I feel like I have a lot of conversations with people right now, especially because there is so, I mean, gosh, it's been 18 months almost. I don't even know how I've stopped counting. and the ups and downs of those emotions and it really is so much rooted in this loneliness, right? Because you have family members, like we talked about before, that are, you know, excommunicating people. You can't come to my wedding. You can't come to this. You can't do that unless you're vaccinated. And it's just wretched. It's wretched.
Wretched.
But to find a community and to encourage people out there who are listening that, I mean, not only do you have a community in Health Freedom for Humanity, of course, you have all of us to wrap our arms around you, but you have the community around you right now, right? Like if you look, if you go and you seek, everyone's around you, but yeah. It's just that the negative sometimes feels so much louder, right?
And it's an active choice, ongoing choice, because it's so tempting for people to just go to default to what they know.
Yeah.
Versus expect a miracle or believe in a new path. Like we have to unlearn a lot of things, and they have to develop a trust that, like, they've been taught, like we've all been taught for so many years, these systems are, you know, that the government's for our own good, that the doctor's always right, that, you know, so mm-hmm. We have a lot to collectively heal through.
Yeah. And so, well, and you bring that up, which is something I wanted to ask you about, which is this level of generational trauma coming up for people. And, you know, one of the things I love more than anything is just energetically helping to heal that, right? It has to come to the surface, but we don't have to keep it with us, and it doesn't have to stay imprinted on our DNA, and we don't have to pass it on to the next generation. So how are you helping people work through like that trauma coming up?
Oh man. I had an astrology reading in March of 2020, right before, you know, the world fell on its head. And she said that humanity was about to go a collective dark night of the soul, and we would all have to face our own shadows before we could come back to the light. And it was one of those like really heavy conversations that I replay and I'm like, wow, you know? And so that's been, you know, I felt a little primed for that and starting new conversations with people bit by bit. Again, it's like, how can I introduce, because in an adjustment, in a visit, like I only get a few minutes, right? So it's like, how can we just do a spark, not the whole fire? Like, I just want to ignite that thing in you. So you go look for it out there. And sometimes it's about taking them out to new resources, to people like you, Jody. I really legitimately can't tell you how many people I've shared your information with since the event of moms that are looking for a new way.
And oh, thank you.
here. And it's such a gift because I'm like, well, I don't have to lift that. I know where to like take them. So it's one part taking them into the new world. And the other harder part is taking them to meet the shadow. And you have to really listen into when they're ready for that and when the moment is for that. And like that mom that I talked about earlier, taking her into like, what are you really afraid of? You know, and in those moments when I'm in my office or when I'm one-on-one with somebody, you know, it's just like, it's just asking questions till they get there. I literally just energetically and at a soul level feel like I just get to hold their hand for a minute and go, come on, a little bit further back. I know you think it's the shot. It's not the shot. I know you think it's the mask. It's not the mask. I know you think it's the government. It's not the government. It's like going back to that primitive, the root of the anger, the root of the fear, the root of the shame. You know, it's like, you got to go back there and pull that root or it's just going to come up again. So let's go together and then introduce like taking them into it so they feel it within themselves. And then here's some tools where you can start to pull that root. And by the way, that's not a, oh, here, there's my root, pulled it. Now I'm done. No, it's like wherever you go, there you are. You're going to keep getting triggered until you've really healed that. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, going in and taking them out is the ongoing process.
I love that. Thank you.
Devin, my kids are 25 and 24. And so I didn't have to deal with what you and Jody are dealing with right now, which is how do you explain to your kids what's going on in the world? And how are your kids reacting? And how are you as a family, like, be sort of going through all this?
Yeah. Have you ever read The Prophet?
Yes.
Yeah. And your children are not your children. They come through you, not from you. I've taken that as a way of life, right? People always ask that, like, how do you have five kids and do all these things? Like, how do you balance it? And it's like, I don't. I don't ever balance it. It's, I find harmony in all of it. I do life with my kids and for my kids, but I don't work for them. I'm just their host in this life experience. Right. And so I take a little bit, I guess, of the heavy weight to do it for them. And it is like, it's the books, right? It's like, I did the work. So I understand at some point I want to accelerate your learning process if I can. But also know there's some things you're going to have to scrape your own knees. You're going to have to fall in your own holes, like watch, learn, you know, when they learn to walk, they're going to fall. And I just, my job is to be here to go, you're doing great. You got this. Well, you can do it. Remember your power's in here. My job is to help, you know, help facilitate healing when they need it and to celebrate them at the victories. And so my oldest, you know, and it's different for each age group, but like at the big idea, the event that we had, you know, where I first met Alec and Allie and Brad and, Jess and all of them, it's like, they're in the front row. My 17-year-old was the first speaker at the big idea because, you know, I said, dude, you've earned the right now. Like, I want to hear what you've seen. I want to learn from you. And so giving them chances to speak instead of always feeling like I got to talk at them. And like, Dr. Billy DeMoss, we're going to do a freedom a crusade, I think he's calling it. And he asked if I'd come out with Dr. Northrup. And it's like, yeah, I'm in. And so Joey and I were like, okay, well, we got to take the kids because like, I realize I'm going to be gone one day. And so I want them to hear from her. I want them to read the books and do the work. Because you know how it is. You can't tell your kids anything. If you tell them to try this, you'll like it. Usually it's like, yeah, right, mom. But then if Jeff said, hey, you'll like this, then they'll like it. It's just like exposing them to these experiences earlier than I got them, I hope will be these little light bulb moments that they grow up in.
That is so true. And yeah, I mean, this is just such a phenomenal time that this next generation is just going to, oh, how powerful they're going to be. Yeah.
And they chose it. They chose it, right? These soul level contracts. They knew what they were getting into. Yeah. That like, I mean, our family's biggest motto, born for such a time as this, right? Like we knew when I chose my parents, because I believe that, And that my children chose me, and that there's the divinity in the timing. And you know, it's like, well, in you think about how many things had to happen for you or for I to be who we are right now. Mm-hmm. That can't be a coincidence.
No coincidences.
Right. And so these little rebels, like, they picked us. They chose us as parents. And so it'll be interesting to play it out. But it's, you know, you hear those stats of this generation of children, you know, won't outlive their parents because of the health trends. You read the stats, you see the suffering, and it's like, I have to remind myself, that's if the current trajectory keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
If we can reroute, there's a whole different outcome. That's a whole different play out. So I just want to keep them curious and empowered to, because they're going to have a lot of work to do.
It's like the books. It's like the books, Choose Your Own Adventure. Those are some of our favorite books.
Yeah.
Your adventure you would like to choose today. Okay. So we always ask these questions on our podcast, and they're my favorite questions to ask. And so I'll ask the first one, which is, what does really, when you think about the concept of health freedom, what does that mean to you?
I don't know why, but spontaneously I hear that, you know, the tune from Love and Marriage, that, that you can't have one without the other. That's health freedom. Like, you, I don't believe we'll ever express our full health potential if we aren't free, sovereign beings. And if we're, you know, to be truly free is to embody optimal physical, spiritual, mental, emotional health. And so, you know, this is the time to declare worthiness and responsibility and absurd gratitude to be healthy and free.
As a B part to that question, Devin, can I just ask you, how do we help people understand that they do not have health freedom right now? You and I understand it. Jody understands it. How do we help people understand they're nowhere close to having health freedom?
Well, Jeff, that's the $1 trillion question right now, my friend. And I think it's with questions. And I think it's first trying to jump into their shoes for a second to try and see out from the way they're looking at things, and then looking for a way in, for a question in that just gives them a, you know, I'm a chiropractor, so a soul adjustment that like reroutes the way they start to look at it.
And, you know, for me, I had a conversation with a girl today, a 17-year-old girl. I was protesting outside of high school. And she first came to me and told me I was an idiot. And what kind of person thinks that masks aren't useful and stuff. And as she was speaking with me, I stayed calm and loving and just gave her succinct answers. And, you know, by the end of like just 3 minutes, she had completely changed from yelling at me and, oh my God, you're such an idiot, to, yeah, can I get your business card so we can continue this conversation? And for me, that was an indication of that's how we do it. We do it through this Jedi mind trick of love, of being available and loving, which is not out there in the world because there's nobody available and they're just telling them what to do. And if we can be available and loving, what's that going to do?
Genuine, right? Not to get something in return. The way she was able, people have been so bought and sold for so long that when genuine love shows up to the game, it's so innate to want more that it's like, and it's so rare that like, that's it. You just got to show up. And then you got to show up, and then you got to show up. And I think we're doing it. And it's, I think that same girl 6 months ago might've taken you 30 minutes. A year ago, might've taken you 3 hours. So we got to look at it as a win that we're able to like, we got 3 minutes. That means we're getting closer, you know?
That's awesome. Thank you. Jody's been through a lot. For Jody, sometimes to share love, and this is, again, women go through so much, I feel like, worse than men right now, because men just feel like they have the right to go up and bully a woman and tell her to put a mask on because I'm mansplaining to you and you're a woman and I'm a man. And Jody, God bless her, you know, texted me a couple weeks ago or whatever. She got...
Oh, you got to share this story.
got totally harassed by some guy at a basketball game and she stood her ground. And what I wanted to say was loving for Jody meant standing her ground and just going, no, I'm not going to be a part of it.
Yeah. We all know tough love, right? Like we all know mother love is sometimes, I mean, you know, it's no, like there's a lot of love in no. And so the badass warrior mama bears like Miss Jody are how I know we're almost there.
We're so close. I feel it in my bones.
Do you want to share anything about that, Jody?
The story?
Well, just, yeah, how you were able to maintain your sense of self.
You know, and here's the thing, and I love that we're, I love that we're talking about this because these situations happen every second of the day right now. And there's, you know, there's people that say, oh, there's, you know, freer places than other. I mean, I feel like I'm in a pretty good place and I had to deal with it face to face just about a week ago. I think it was only a week ago for my son's basketball game. And we have not had to deal with this mask garbage personally because we have chosen to not deal with it. We have chosen to create our path, create our freedom, not put ourselves in positions to, you know, I tell people all the time, like your freedom is right there. You don't have to go to Florida to find freedom. Your freedom is where you're at right now. So we have created that in the last 18 months. And I have not had to deal with it. And I had to deal with it last week, which was so just out of the blue. The school that they were playing at was as if you were in like Fauci's palace. That's kind of how I would explain it. You know, like just the energy was dark. It was, you know, put your mask on in, you know, the team that my son was playing to had to force their players to play with a mask on. And, you know, here's kind of where it started. I know we're going to probably, I didn't mean to like take over the podcast here with my story, but I do think it's a learning moment. And I love how Jeff brings up all these learning moments. And so it actually started back when the other school contacted our school and said, hey, we have a mask policy still in place and your kids are going to have to wear a mask to play basketball. And so I got an email, a group email from the athletic director and the coach. And I read it and I thought to myself, okay, there's some different ways I can go here. I can go with yelling and screaming and being angry. Or I could go with lovingly responding with, I'm so sorry, but we are not going to be complying with that right now or ever. And my son will not be wearing a mask. I did not say my son will not attend. I said, we will actually be showing up to the game, but we will not be wearing a mask because it is not law. It's never been law. I cited the BBB code. And I actually did that intentionally responding to all the other parents in the thread because I wanted them to know they weren't alone. And lo and behold, took about 12 hours. Another parent replied all and said, yeah, we're not doing that either. Right? So that's where it started. And then from there, we contacted the other school and we said, hey, like, we're not doing this. You can move the game to our school then because we're not doing it. And this is where we have to understand that's where it starts.
Amen.
Is you don't start with saying, okay, sure, we'll just put it on for this one game.
Yeah.
No, you say, I'm sorry, that's not what we're doing. You can come to our school instead. So they actually caved and said, that's fine. Your kids don't have to wear one, but our kids will wear one. So we ended up going to their school. And this is where I got harassed by the athletic director and the head coach of the other team who was in my face screaming at me that I had to put a mask on inside the gym. And I was very calm. And I was like, you know, and I obviously presented my own, you know, I'm sorry. I'm unfortunately not able to wear one. It is not a law. My rights are protected according to US code BBB, all that stuff. Right. And, he threatened to call the sheriff on me. And so he pulled his phone out as if he was going to call the sheriff on me. And I said, I said, oh, are you gonna call law enforcement? I said, that's wonderful. Please call law enforcement, because they are tasked to uphold the Constitution. So I'd be more than happy to have a conversation with the sheriff, in which case I called his bluff, right? And I was calm the whole time. I did not yell when he was in my face. You're right, man to a woman, power trip, right? And then he was like, well, I don't have time to talk to you about this. I have to go coach this game right now. I said, that's fine. You can, I'm more than willing to have you have somebody come over and talk to me about this. Like, that's totally fine. You go do your thing. Please send somebody to come talk to me. He never did. I sat the whole time without a mask on watching the entire game and nobody did anything. So it's, you know, it's theater. We know it's theater. It's a power trip, but we have to stay calm. We have to stay grounded. We have to stay rooted. And that's why I texted Jeff. I was like, Jeff, calm me down. Calm me down. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to punch him. Because it's okay to have those feelings. But so we're still, I mean, it's appalling to me that we're still dealing with this.
But you were a woman who stood in your power, right? I mean, there were so many layers of that. Step one is you did the work to get educated, even as you're quoting the codes. You had to go learn that. Like, I wasn't born knowing constitutional like law, you know? So it's like, you got those. And then you get into Law for Mankind, whole nother like rabbit hole we could go down. But like, you know, most people don't know anything about that, but you've done the work, you've done the education. And so when push literally comes to shove, you're able to stand there and you were at a high vibration of power by staying calm and he's down in anger. So you're winning the energy war, and you drew the line of no. And literally, you know, I mean, the cliche quote of like, when one woman heals herself, she heals all women.
Yes.
So like, sharing stories like that empowers more women to do the work, to stand in their power. And Dr. Zach Bush, I just got to throw it in there because Jeff brought up like masculine and feminine and all that, like, I heard Dr. Zach Bush a couple of times now speak about how humanity has been a one-winged bird. And with the patriarchal wing, we have flown to a point of fatigue and we're spiraling downward. And if humanity will raise its feminine wing, we will, for the first time in our history, but generally, I mean, centuries back, we will fly as a two-winged bird for the first time, where masculine and feminine fly together within us and collectively. And that visual has really helped pull me through, because it came up at the Health Freedom Revival. Where are the men and why don't the men, and problems with men? And I really do love how Dr. Northrup was like, stop it. Like, you don't shame the person that finally shows up to church. Like, the men are doing the best they can with what they've been taught. We've all been wounded here, right? I've got 4 sons that I want them to see a woman stepping up in her power, and a gentleman like my husband, like Jeff, like Alec, talking about healing trauma and crying, and like, it's both that need to work, right?
Yes.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you. Devin, you're approaching a door to the new earth, and you open that door. What does it look like?
All the colors and all the feels. It is people of every age and size and gender and, you know, background, embodying alignment and activation of all 7 chakras within them, right? Harmony, literally, for the first time, where they're grounded and safe, where they play and they create and they remember that life is just for living. It's not this serious get a job, pay your bills, and then you die thing. It is tapping into courage and vitality. It is love and compassion and gratitude. It is, you know, living in our, you know, where we speak a truth, a kind truth, a hope-filled truth, and where we, you know, where we're more curious than we are judgmental, where we ask questions before we speak, listen more to nature, to God, to each other, and where literally, you know, corona means crown, where that crown chakra energy, where we realign with the bigness of this experience of life, and we live more wholly within ourselves and with each other. And I can get the goosebumps every time, because I can see it, and I know we will get to experience it. I don't know how long it will take, but I will be here serving in whatever capacity to usher it in, because it's worth whatever we got to do to get there.
I get the sense that you're already experiencing it a little right now.
Yeah. Right. That's it. Want to change the world, change yourself. Like that's you guys, right? And that you guys have this organization. I cannot begin to say enough thank yous for getting to witness the depth and the expanded reach of who all of you are. And, you know, I mean, I went right home and I was like, all right, I'm starting the Kansas chapter. I know I got 100 things going on, but let's get it going. And, you know, I want it for everybody.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, thank you, Devin, so much for being with us. And where can people find you?
Yes. So I'm, I haven't been deleted on Instagram yet, which I kind of take as an insult to, I'm like, I'm not trying.
That's Jeff.
I haven't been canceled yet. I'm not trying hard enough. I am on Instagram and now Telegram, actually, for the first time this week, because Alec told me I need to get over the fact that it's messy and I don't like the way it's laid out. And it's a space that we can actually exchange. DevinVarana.com, and I like to have retreats, and we have a event each year, and my practice is called The Lighthouse in Wichita, Kansas. So literally, if there's anything I can do to support you, whoever you are listening, reach out, because I'm just a girl trying to make sense of it all, just like you.
I love it. Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, thank you so much, Devin.
Oh. Thank you guys for having me and for patiently waiting for me to show up to the party tonight.
Yeah, we love you. We wouldn't miss it.
Love you, friend.
Love you both back. And I can't wait till the next summit, the next gathering. We'll see what spring 2022 brings. But hopefully I get to see each of you before that.
Yes.
Right on. Beautiful. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Devin.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.